Okay, so we're going to move on to, again, the topics we've been doing till now have been very dense topics, and that's why it took a little while. What's that?
Not the word dense.
No. Pass it on. I mean in the robust, you know, complex, in that sense. And so it's, you know, but now we're ready to move on to the next Gemara, which also is going to take us a little bit of time because it breaks down into some very important big topics in Shtaros and in Gittin. So we're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. We're just going to go through the Shakla V'Tarya first, from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, the last line on Gimel Amud Aleph, through the first quarter or so, the first third of the page of Dalet Amud Aleph. So first we're going to run through the Gemara, and then we're going to break it up again into the different themes. So again, as we recall, the Mishnah had said that when a person brings a get from Dina Sayam, he has to proclaim, the Shliach has to proclaim, Bifanai Nechtav. And as we already discussed, there's a debate between Rabbah and Rabbah. Why? Rabbah said because of Ein Bekiyim Lishma, and Rabbah said because of Ein Ha'edim Mitzuyim Lekayim. So the Gemara is zeroing in on Rabbah, who said that the requirement of Bifanai Nechtav is to establish that the requirement of Lishma was adhered to, that the get was written specifically for this husband and wife, for this marriage. So he zeroes in on this Shita of Rabbah, and he asks a very simple question. This is the last line on Gimel Amud Aleph. Man, Haitana, second line from the bottom. Well, Rabbah Damar Lepishein Bekiyin Lishma, according to Rabbah, that the reasoning for the Bifanai Nechtav is the requirement of Lishma. Now remember, you have to say Bifanai Nechtav, it was written in my presence. Bifanai Nechtav, it was signed in my presence. So the implication is that there's a requirement of Lishma both for Ksiva and Chasimas Haget, for the writing of the get, and also for the signing of the signatures. So the Gemara says, who has such a shita? Well, Rabbi Damal, if you shame the king Lishma, man haitana debay Ksiva Lishma, ubay Chasima Lishma. Is there anybody who requires both Ksiva and Chasima Lishma? After all, Irab Meir, Chasima boy, Ksiva lo boy. What does this mean? So the Gemara is about to develop. They have the famous argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, whether Edei Mesira Karsi or Edei Chasima Karsi. There are Meirs of the opinion that Edei Chasima Karsi, which means that when you have a contract, so the signators, those who sign, the Edim who sign the contract, they're the ones who are co-race, they're the ones who define, they're the ones who give power to the contract. It's the signatures of the Edim. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Edim Mesira Karsi, the Edim who witness the handing over of the contract, their presence, their testimony about the transaction itself is what is Koveya, Edim Mesira Karsi. So basically what the Gemara is about to develop is the idea that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could have a contract without signed witnesses. As long as the text is written properly and it's handed over in the presence of witnesses, Edei Mesira, that would be Koreis. The only reason that we are accustomed to seeing Edim HaChasumim in a shtar, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's because the Mishnah says later on, two places, one on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, two lines from the bottom, we've seen this before, Ha'edim Chosim Alaget B'Vnei Tikkun Olam. Because it might be that the Edim will, after they, you know, accomplish their purpose, might travel, or they might become ill, and no longer are accessible, so Mishum Tikkun Olam, good advice that they should also sign their name in the shtar. But in terms of the shtar itself, Edei Mesira Arkarsi, you don't really need the Edei Machasumim at all. This Mishnah, this idea of Edei Tikkun Olam, is repeated again on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, in the Mishnah that we're about to see quoted in our Gemara. Here the Mishnah says, Shlosha Gittin Psulim, there are three Gittin, three cases of Gittin, in other words, which are Kosher Minat Torah, but Pasul midrabanan, v'imitzei savlad kasher, and if the woman gets remarried based on this particular get, since it's only possible midrabanan but minat Torah, it works. So the child that's born in this new marriage, even though lechatchila he shouldn't have gotten married based on this get, because it's possible midrabanan, but since it's kasher minat Torah, the blood, the child, would not be a mamzer. And what are these cases? Kasa b'ksavyan of ein olavedim. We'll get this in a second. The person writes out the contract or the get in his own handwriting. It's an autograph. And therefore, there is no signature. There are no signatures of the edim. Yeshal of edim v'ein bo zman. Or there are witnesses signed in the get, but there's no zman. There's no a record of the time in which the get is given. Or yesh bazman ve'ein bo ela edachat. There is zman in the get, there is a chasima, but only the chasima, only the signature of a single aid. And that's going to combine, the Gemara has two deos, either with the ksav yad of the sofer, with the handwriting of the sofer who prepares it, or with the ksav yado of the bailiff. In any case, in these all three cases, Harelu Shlosha Gitim Psulim, the Imnisei Savlad Kosher, as we just said, these are all only Pasul Midrabanan, Midat Torah they work, and therefore the Vlad, the child that is born after remarriage based on this particular get, will be a Kosher Vlad. And then we're told in the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa Bi She'en Olavedim, even if there are no signatures at all in the shtar, Elishan Nasala Bifne Edim, but the get was handed over in the presence of witnesses, Kasher, the Gobim and the Chasim Vishubadim. The get is Kasher, and it can also be a basis for the Gviya of the Ksuva, right, which can even be from mortgaged property. Why? She'eno Edim Chosim Malaget, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the only reason Edim ever sign on to a get is Mifnei Tikkun Ha'ola. Again, just for the contingency that maybe you would need them as Raya, as proof of what happened later on, and under those circumstances you could rely on the Edei Chasima, but otherwise you wouldn't need them. So there's this major debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, whether Edei Chatzima Karsi, the signatures, are what determines, or Edei Mesira, the handing over of the get. We're going to speak a lot about this argument. So basically what the Gemara is asking is as follows. If Rabbah tells you that you have to proclaim b'fanei nechtam, for purposes of Lishma, that implies that both the Ksiva Saget and the Chatzima Saget are critical features, that they're indispensable components in this process. But how could that be? If we're talking about Rabbi Meir, who says, Ede Chasima Karsi, so as Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi here, E Rabbi Meir, Amar Ikar Ashtar, Zui Chasimaso, if the main ingredient in Shtar are the signatures, what does that mean? Chasima Lishma Boy, Dechiksiv Kasavla, a Chasima Ksiv. Etc. In other words, the Torah says the kasavla sefer krisus, right? The shilach nibeso. We read the psukim in Parshas Kiteitze. Gerushin is shiluchin. It's sending her off after the kasavla. You write the get. So according to Rabbi Meir, the word v'kasav means v'chasav, and therefore v'kasav law. Law is the source for lishma. Only has to be geared towards her, right? It can't be a generic get. The kasav law, according to Rabbi Meir, means the kasam law. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no chasimos in a shtar or a get. So the kasav law means ksiva. So there's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir how to interpret the word ksiva, which in turn influences what is the scope of the requirement of lishma in a get. If a kasav means kasav, then there's ksiva lishma. If a kasav is another way of saying b'chasam, then the chasima is lishma. But where do we find anybody who says the kasav and the chasam both require lishma? That's the Gemara's difficulty. Okay. So the Gemara explains, Irabi Meir chasima boi ksiva lo boi ditna. We learned later on in the Mishnah, Ein kosvin b'mechubar lekarka. The Gemara there, the Mishnah there explains that you cannot write a get on mechubar lekarka, on something which is attached to the ground. Only on something which is mobile, which is talush, which is separate from the karka itself. kosva ala mechuba lekarka. Let's say you go ahead and you do right on mechuba lekarka. So the rule is tolsho chosmo the nasna la kosher. If after you wrote the get, I mean the text of the get, then you were able to cut off the connection to the karka, right? In other words, you uprooted the object, and then you have the Aden sign onto the get, while it was already talush, after, in other words, it's no longer b'chubar, the nastula, and then the nesinas haget takes place, kosher. So the Gemara says, that proves that according to Rabbi Meir, the only thing that we really care about in a get is the chasima, because there's a requirement that a get cannot be mechubar, and according to Rabbi Meir, this is defined by chasima and not by ksiba. On the other hand, what's the alternative? That the concept of the farinechta of lishma in ksiba and chasima refers not to Rabbi Meir, but to Rabbi Eliezer. Let's weigh that possibility. I Rabbi Eliezer, ksiba boy, chasima lo boy. Rabbi Lazar interprets the word v'kasav la as only referring to ksiva, not to chasima. According to him, there are no chasimos, except for mishum tikkun olam. So obviously, there's no requirement of chasima lishma. So we're in trouble. Neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Lazar can be the author of the Mishnah that requires b'fanai nechtam, according to Rabba, who says it refers to lishma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe this is all true on a Daraisa level, that Rabbi Eliezer only believes in Ksiva Lishma, and Rabbi Meir believes in only Chasima Lishma. But maybe the Mishnah reflects a Dindra Abanan. Maybe there's a Manda Amar who requires Ksiva and Chasima Lishma Midra Abanan. The Chitema Leolam, Rabbi Eliezer, maybe Rabbi Eliezer is the author of the Mishnah. The Chilo by Rabbi Lazar Chasima Lishma Midaraisa. Min Torah, all you need is ksiva lishma, no chasima lishma. But midrabanan, boy, maybe Rabbi Elazar requires chasima midrabanan. Well, since you are supposed to sign the names in the shtar, mishum tikkun olam, so maybe they went even further and they said that midrabanan, there's a requirement of chasima lishma. So the Gemara says, cannot be. That's impossible. After all, v'ha shlosha gitim psulim midrabanan. The Mishnah that I just read for you in Pei Vav Amud Aleph says Shlosha Gitin Psulin, right? About Vlad Kosher, meaning there are three Gitin that work Minatorah, but that Midrabanan are disqualified. However, since they work Minatorah, if you go ahead to the Evid and you use them, the child that's born, right, in the next marriage, since Minatorah it is a proper get, is not considered to be a mamz. So we know that that Mishnah is concerned with Dinim Drabanan. And yet, even though that Mishnah is dealing with Dinim Drabanan, Velo Bai Rabbi Eliezer Chasima Lishma. And nonetheless, in that very Mishnah is the source for Rabbi Eliezer that Ede Mesira Karsi, even the Chatchila. So that means that Rabbi Eliezer's view of Ede Mesira Karsi is not only a Din Daraisa, but is true on a Drabanan level as well. So it cannot be that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Chasima is requiring the Shema even on a Drabbana level. That's what the Gemara is saying. It's not. We learned in the Mishnah, same Mishnah that we read. Gimel Gitin Psulin Vimnisis Avlad Kosher. Right? These are the three Gitin that are disqualified Midrabbanan, but since they work Minat Torah, the Vlad is Kosher. Kosovik Savyana Veinolam Edim. If it's an autograph, as I say, he writes it with his own hand, his own script. Or Yeshal Avedim Vein Bozman. There are Edim, but there is no Zman written into the get. Or yesh bozman ve'ein bo ela eid echad. Or you have a single aid, which is combined with either the ksavyad of the baal or the ksavyad of the soper. All these cases are elu gimel gitim psulim midrabanan. They're disqualified v'imnisas avlad kosher, but the child b'dieved would be fine. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Lazar, Rav Pishen olavedim elishem nasla b'fneidim kosher v'gova midchasim mishubadim she'ina edim chosim elaget elamipnei tikkun olam. End quote of the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, which is underscoring dinim drabanan, in that Mishnah we're being told that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no problem with chatchila to have a get without edi chasim. Which means that Rabbi Eliezer, midrabanan, doesn't require chasima either. It's only an Eitz HaTovah, mishum tikkun olam, that you require them. But that is not the same as saying that midrabanan, this is a prerequisite and one which would require lishma. So we're back to square one. Who was the author of the Mishnah? Befanai Nachtam. Who believes that you require ksiva and chasima lishma? So the Gemara says as follows. The Ella Rab Meiri. Let's go back to the drawing board. Maybe it's Rab Meiri. After all, what did we just suggest now that we just rejected? We were suggesting the possibility. It's true that according to Rabbi Elazar Daraisa, you only need ksiva, but maybe drabanan you require chasima. The Gemara said, no, it's not so. Why don't we suggest the same thing for Rabbi Meir? Midaraisa, all you require is chasima, but maybe midrabanan you also require ksiva. That's what the Gemara is going to suggest. The chila boy Rabbi Meir ksiva lishma midaraisa, but midrabanan boy. So the Gemara says you can't say that either. There's evidence that Rabbi Meir does not require ksiva lishma even midrabanan. How do we know it? But Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Haya, Rabbi Meir, with the statement of the name of Rav Nachman, Rav Meir used to say, "Afilu matzah ba'ashba." If you find the perfect get, you know, in the garbage, meaning the perfect get that it's coincidentally, you know, written with the right names, right? A is divorcing, you know, B, and you know he happens to be A, and his wife happens to be B, and he was thinking of divorcing her anyway, or I guess he decided to divorce her anyway. So he finds this in the trash, right? And he picks it up. So what's the halacha? The chasmo. And then he asks Adim to sign on, and that already is lishma. Vinasnola, and he gives it to his soon-to-be former wife. What's the halacha? Kasher. Why? Because according to Rabbi Meir, the ksiba is irrelevant. It's a hechsher bialma. The real action in the get, in the shtar, is the chasima, not the ksiva. Maybe this Mishnah is only in daraisa, but midrabanan, right? Rabbi Meir will agree that you need ksiva lishma. So the Gemara says, "Yachi Omer Hayirab Meir, Tzvar Torah Miboyle." It should have said, instead of Omer HaRab Meir, which sounds like a l'chatchila, Rab Meir used to say, if you find a get in the garbage, in the trash, you know, and it's the perfect nusach, if you put proper edichasima, you can use it. It doesn't sound like it's a daraisa. That sounds like it's a practical halacha. Had Rabbi Meir said, Dvar Torah, if you find a get in the ashpa, you can use it, then we might have said, that's only on a deraisa level, but not on a rabbanan level. So linguistically, it's not likely that we can make this distinction. So we're still back at square one. Rabbi Eliezer only requires ksiva lishma. Rabbi Meir only requires chasima lishma. Who is the author of our mission? So finally, the Gemara gives two answers. El Liolam, Rabbi Eliezer. Let's go back to Rabbi Eliezer. It's true. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require chasima. Except for Tikkun Olam, and that's an Eitz Tova. There's no din, there's no chiyuv or psul, even drabanan, of requiring chasima according to Rabbi Eliezer. However, the chilo boy Rabbi Eliezer chasima heched aleike edim kla. All that means is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need to have edim at all. But heched ike edim boy. But if edim sign on the get, even though it's only mitzum tikkun olam, they have to be lishma. Why? Damar Ababa, Moda Rabbi Eliezer, the Mizuyef Mitocho, Shehu Pasul. This is a very important halacha which we're going to analyze. Not tonight so much, but in the next couple of shiurim. Rabbi Lazar is the opinion that if something is internally corrupt, if it's internally Mizuyef, it's not really, the word Mizuyef actually means forgery, but obviously this isn't a forgery. What we're talking about is you don't have to have chasimos in the get, but if you do have chasimos in the get, they have to achieve a certain standard. They're judged by the standard of ksiva as well, and therefore it would be the equivalent of what we call mezuyah mitocho. This halacha mezuyah mitocho is very fascinating. It appears in a couple of other places. It appears on the Yudah Beis. The Gemara speaks about if non-Jews sign in a get. And the Gemara there distinguishes between Shemos Muvhakim and Shemos Shenim Muvhakim. In other words, if it's clear that these are non-Jewish names in the get, then you don't have to worry about it, because no one takes it seriously. It's ceremonial. It's obviously not intended to be integrated into the actual get. But if somebody has a, if a non-Jew has a name, right, which isn't obviously non-Jewish, and there's some confusion whether or not we're talking about a Jew or non-Jew, in other words, the eid pasul could be confused for an eid kosher, so then the rule of Modi Rabbi Eliezer, even though Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require eidim at all to sign the get. But if eidim psulim sign, that's called mezuyach mitocho. Similarly, the Gemara has a discussion in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara there says there's a certain case of shtar, it was signed by two brothers-in-law. And the Gemara says, Modi Rabbi Eliezer, again, b'mezuyach mitocho. In the Gemara itself, we have three cases. This, one of these cases also appeared in Kufayin and Bavasra. The mezuyach mitocho cases that we have are Edim, she'enam k'sherim, that's non-Jews, Edim Psulim Krovim, in other words, and the third case is here, Edim Shechosmu Shalolishma. In all these cases, Rabbi Eliezer gives a certain weight and stature to the Chasima, even though he doesn't require a Chasima. There's a huge debate among the Rishonim whether it's a Dindaraisa or a Dindarabanan. If it's only a Dindarabanan, it's much easier to understand. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't really believe in Chasima. He's worried, you know, you might think these are Edim Sherim for other things. Gzeira of Chasima Atu Ksiva, that's how Rashi explained it. This Tosis here, Tosis explained it, sorry. Modi Rabbi Eliezer Mezuyach Mitocho, this second Tosis on Daled Amud Aleph, discusses this problem. That's one way to look at it. The Rabbim also seems to say it's Rabbanan, at least in one case. There are other Rishonim who think that this might be a Dindaraisa. If it's a Dindaraisa, it's very challenging to figure out. How could it be that you don't need Eide Chasima, but when you have Eide Chasima, they have Daraisa to live up to a certain high standard? And we'll have to explain that. Okay. Now the Gemara has one other answer. Rav Ashi Amar Hamani Rav Yehudai. Maybe there's another Mandama of our mission. Not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Meir. Not Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda. Titzan Rabbi Yehuda, Posel Achetek Sivaso V'chasimaso B'tomash. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that the psul of Mechubar applies either to Ksiva or to Chasima, which may mean that he interprets the word Vekasav in the Pasuk to refer not either to Ksiva or Chasima, but to both Ksiva and Chasima. Since he is going to disqualify Mechubar both of Ksiva and of Chasima, so it's not unreasonable to think that his view is that there's a requirement of Lishma for Ksiva and for Chasima as well. So the Gemara says, Mikara, my tamalo mekminu l'krav Yehuda. If we know this Mandamar, he's an explicit Tana on another issue, so why are we struggling so hard to establish the Mishnah according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says, Mahadrinan Rabbi Meir, Tistam Misnisen Rabbi Meir. We were looking for Rabbi Meir because Tam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and Madrina Rabbi Elazar, the Kaimelon Hoksa Kavase BeGittin. That itself is an important line. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar, at least in Gittin. We'll see whether or not Gittin means Gittin, or Gittin means Shtari Kinyan. Or at least Kiddushin, Gerushin, and Get Shechror, if not also Shtari Mecher, but as opposed to Shtari Raya. We'll see that going forward. That's the shock of the time. Okay. So now I'd like to go back and just speak about some of the issues that come up along the way. The first thing, just a general note, which we'll go back to, and that is just about the general argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. If you look at Rashi on the Gemara, we saw a little bit, one could think that the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, which is an argument in all the Chas, not just in Gittin. I mean, the source for Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir, is the Mishnah Gittin Da Peva, which is quoted here. But it's a Shas argument. What is a Shtar? Shtar is defined by the Edim who sign it. Shtar is defined by the Edim who witness it. Edim Chasima, Edim Misim. One could have said, certainly on the basis of Rashi, that this is a very technical argument, It's an argument how to, maybe its source is how to read the pasuk. Pasuk says the kasav. Question is, does kasav mean ksiva kipshuto? Or the ksivas again is just a hechsher, it's just a, you know, the background. The real action, the real davar koveya, the defining moment, is the kasav. And the kasav really means the kasav, the significant ksiva, as opposed to the technical ksiva. In which case, one could have said that this is an argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. What do we emphasize in Shtar? The signatures or the presence, the attesting to the handing over of the document? But, by and large, there's no fundamental argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir about what a Shtar is. There's only a question about which particular component to emphasize. And one might then say, to use the language that Rishonim sometimes use here and in other contexts, Midrav Eliezer Nishma L'Rabbi Meir, Midrav Meir Nishma L'Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, it's true that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir argue about how to interpret the Kasav, and that argument has nafkamina, right, in terms of Lishma, in terms of Mechubar and Talush, right, and possibly in terms of various other halakos as well. But basically, it's just a question, whatever chasima is for Rabbi Meir, ksiva is for Rabbi Eliezer, and vice versa. Or, does the fact that Rabbi Eliezer emphasizes the mesira and downplays the objective chefta shel shtar, because you don't need signatures in the shtar, it's basically a piece of paper with a message, a text, right? The chefta itself seems barely significant. The fact that there are no chasimos means that he has a different perspective on what shtar is. And in the other direction, the very fact that for Rabbi Meir, all we care about is the Eide Chasima and the Chefta Shel Shtar, and we don't really care about the handing over of the contract to the other party, means that we're not really interested in the transaction, or at least what seals this transaction isn't the transaction itself, but the proof that there is such a transaction. In other words, it's quite possible that the fact that Rabbi Eliezer zeroes in on the Nesira, and the fact that Rabbi Meir underscores the Chasima, reflects two different ideas of Shtaros. In which case, we would be unlikely, at least automatically, we would be challenging every effort to assume that what applies for Rabbi Eliezer on a tziva level applies for Rabbi Meir on a chasima level. Or what I said before, mid Rabbi Elazar nishma Rabbi Meir, mid Rabbi Meir nishma Rabbi Elazar. I'll just give you two brief examples of where this comes up. This is a massive topic which we'll be getting back to. Let me give you two brief examples. One very dramatic one. The Or Zeruah has a discussion, it's quoted by the Hagos HaShri as well. A very strange discussion. According to Rabbi Meir, Eide Chasima Karsi, can a Shliach sign on behalf of the Eide Chasima? In other words, the Eide was supposed to sign inside the get. Can a Sofer, let's say they have bad handwriting, can a Sofer sign their names? And would that be considered Eide Chasima? Right? Now, if I asked anybody in the room this question, I'm pretty sure that everybody would say no. Okay? If I asked why, I might get different answers. But I'm pretty sure that instinctively everybody would say no. But this is an actual discussion of the Or Zeruah and the Machlokas HaRishonim, believe it or not. Now, what is the basis for, well, why say no? Because one would think that that's not a signature. The signature is a highly personal, you know, is it put your John Hancock, you know, on this. You know, a person's signature identifies his involvement, right? In our society, certainly, right, we sign checks with signatures. Distinctive signatures play a role. So it's as foreign to us, the idea that somebody could be a shliach for Eide Chasima. To put it in shlichus terms, learned Kiddushin a couple of years ago, right? Ein lecha, one would think, Ein lecha davar shebegufo, you know, gedol lemizu. It's very highly personal. Anything that's very highly personal cannot be accomplished by means of some other party. Why would one think that it could be done? Oh, just one more second. So the Orzarua, quoting this Shita, says, well, midi Rabbi Eliezer nishma the Rabbi Meir. Because what does v'kasav mean in the pasuk when it says v'kasav l'sefer krisis? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it means ksivas haget. Now, does the Baal have to write the get? He appoints a shliach, or he appoints a sofer, and the sofer, the Orzarua is assuming is a shliach. That's a big question: whether the sofer is a shliach or the sofer needs to be a shliach is a better way to say it. But the Orzarua says, well, the sofer is a shliach of the Baal. So Rabbi Eliezer's v'kasav is through shlichus. So mid to Rabbi Eliezer, nishma Rabbi Meir. What does v'kasav mean according to Rabbi Meir? V'kasav. So if Rabbi Eliezer's v'kasav can be through shlichus, why can't Rabbi Meir's v'kasav be through shlichus? Now the answer to that question is because ein adom azel azeh, but that in two ways. One way you could say it in a more limited way, you could say, well, the definition of a signature, as I said before, is highly personal, and something that's highly personal can never be conveyed or accomplished on your behalf by a third party. Therefore, it's just the definition of ksivas haget for Rabbi Eliezer allows for shlichus. The definition of katsima saget, which is the definition of, which is the translation of tziva, according to Rabbi Meir, does not allow for it. However, one could take it a step further.
It's a type of mezuyif.
Well, it's only mezuyif if you can't do it.
I'm telling you, sign my name on the check.
The only reason you think it's mezuyif is because you think it's highly personal.
No, it's because I didn't sign it.
Exactly. If you can't do it, it's mezuyah. If you could do it, it wouldn't be mezuyah, right?
I think that you can do it.
No, meaning you're assuming because you have a certain perspective, which I think, that's why I said, instinctively everybody in the room would have said you can't do this. Why? Because you think that signing is a very personal act, and if somebody signs for you, that's a forgery. Right? What the Orzarua is suggesting is that the chasima just had the edim formally have to be represented. Their presence has to be at the moment of the preparation of the document has to be conveyed and represented in the contract. And just like you can represent the Baal's interest in writing the document, you can represent the edim's presence in the preparation of the document. If that's true, that's not mezuyah. Right? It's only if it's a personal identification mark that it's mezuyah. So the question is, what is it about chasima sa'edim? Is it their presence and participation in the preparation of the document, in which case maybe it's open to shlichus, or is it their actual raya, that they're involved, the personal element of their involvement, in which case it's a kind of mezuyah? That's exactly the question. So I think there are two elements, just so we're going to finish this formulation for 1 second. There are two. Number one, we could have said a John Hancock is personal by definition, as opposed to, you know, Sivas Ashtar, which is not personal by definition. That itself would be enough to torpedo this particular equation, mid the Rabbi Elazar Nishma the Rabbi Meir. But one could take it a step further in light of what we just said. And that is, it's not only that technically a signature is highly personal, not nitan l'shlichus. It's what I just said now, which is, what is it about the presence and the role and the representation of the edim in this process that is important? Is it Rabbi Eliezer thinks it's their presence at the moment of the Mesira, and Rabbi Meir thinks it's their presence at the moment of the preparation of the document? Or is it something completely different? And this is the way the Rav used to say it. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that it's the kinyan which is koveya the shtar. In other words, they are edim on the mesira, because the mesira represents the point at which the interface between the two parties, the kohen and the makne, takes place. That's the transaction. That's the maisa. In the case of gittin, that's the maisa gerushin. in Ishtar Kiddushin, that's the Maisa Kiddushin. In the case of Mecher, that's the act of Mechira. In the case of Matana, that's the act of Matana. Everything takes place when the document is handed over from the Makne to the Kone. So the Edim Mesira are Edim on the Kinyan. Meaning, the Shtar is essentially a Shtar Kinyan. The Shtar Kinyan is defined by the role of the Edim in the process of the Kinyan. However, according to Rabbi Meir, it's not that the preparation of the document needs to be witnessed by the Edim. The real point is that it's the Raya Shebedabar, which is Kores, which is Kone. Meaning, when I put a Raya in the hands of the Kone, I give him the means and the wherewithal to prove that he is the new owner, that he's in control of the situation, by investing that proof, right, in his hands. That is the Davar HaKone. The Kinyan isn't the Mesira, the Kinyan is the Hatfasas Raya Biyad HaKone. That's a completely different idea. Now, if that's the case, then the Raya Shibo can only take place if the actual Edim sign. Because otherwise, what kind of Raya is it? How you know that it's Reuven and Shimon, and you've given me the self-sustaining apparatus to prove that this took place, it's a sofer signature representing them. In other words, even if the John Hancock technically could be reproduced by a shliach, what you have lost in the process is the Raya Shabo. And it's that Fasas Raya, which according to Rabbi Meir, is the Kenyan. Let me just give you the flip side of it and then I'll take the question. So that's one way of highlighting the issue. Another way. The Bali Tosis of the opinion, I shouldn't say all Bali Tosis, not really, the Reeb. And this is a position that is developed by the Reeb, but really kind of took off. Rashi may not agree with it, Rabbi Tam probably doesn't agree with it, but the Chachmei Sfarad picked it up from the Reeb and it became a very powerful idea. And that is that according to Rabbi Meir, who says, Eide Chassima Kachsi, there's also a requirement called Muchach Mitocho. Muchach Mitocho means, best way to translate it, self-sufficiency. The shtar, the contract, has to be self-sufficient. If the only way you can fill in significant blanks, right, is through some extraneous evidence, and you need to, it's not a self-sustaining, self-sufficient document, then the kinyan of the shtar is going to be deficient. For example, many gemaras that come up later on, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Adarim Be'irecha. Let's say you have two people of the same name. Remember when they found the get on top of the trash bin, you know, with the same names? You know, so this is part of the problem. Are there people with the same exact names living in town or not? So there's a lot of evidence. This is the Reeve's view. The Reeve says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't really care if they're Trey Yosef and Shimon Hadarim Be'irachas. Two Yosef and Shimons in the same town. Why? Because they didn't see Rakarsi. The Edim Asira are there. They know whose get it is. Right? They know who's being miscareshes. It's not a problem. But according to, this is the Reeb, but according to Rabbi Meir, who says, Ede Chassima Karsi, you can't have Trey Yosef and Shimon Be'erechot. You'd have to write some further level of identification to distinguish exactly who this person is. I, the Ede Chassima, in theory, could be interviewed. And they could say, oh, it's Smith, not Jones, right? Or Ben Yechiel, but not Ben Yitzchak. Doesn't matter. That's coming from the outside. According to Rabbi Meir, you need Muchach Mitocho. So the Tosus Rid in Kiddushin Daf Tes challenges this whole idea of Muchach Mitocho from him. He says, I don't understand. Mid Rav Elazar, Nishmal Rabbi Meir. You don't need Mukha Mitocha for Rabbi Eliezer. Why do you need it for Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Eliezer says, and he kind of pretty much says it this way. They're arguing about what Vekasav La means in the Pasuk. Vekasav means Ksiva, Vekasav means Chassima. So whatever it means for one, it means the other definition for the other, but what does that have to do with other things? If you need Mukha Mitocha, a self-sufficient apparatus where evidence from the outside is not going to help you, then you should need that for Rabbi Meir. I mean, for Rabbi Eliezer. And there is a little bit of a whiff of that, actually, on Tosis earlier, on the Gimel of Aleph. If you look at this one line, I'll just pick it out for you quickly. Tosis says here, Gimel of Aleph, if you look on 3-6 lines down in the Tosis, top Tosis. It's a continuation of the previous. Tafil Rabbi Eliezer, everybody see that? Tzarech Edim Esira Sheyedu Sha'aso Abal Shliach, Baleka. That's a very controversial line in the Achronim. Some of the Achronim, this discussion between the Marsha and then later Rabbi Kinhager, understood that Tosis here was saying that Rabbi Eliezer has an equivalent of Muchach Mitoko for Edei Mesira. So we have it in both directions. There are people who think even Edei Mesira have the equivalent of Muchach Mitoko, and there are those who say even for Rabbi Meir there's no Muchach Mitoko, because if you don't have it for Rabbi Eliezer, you shouldn't have it for Rabbi Meir. But the Ri's view generally is Rabbi Meir has this requirement of Muchach Mitoch. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't. What, why? Tosfos Ri's question is a good question. What's the difference between them? So the answer is, and the Rishonim pretty much say it, and the Rabbis explain it this way as well, based on what I said before. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, if they're just arguing about a technical point, how to read the Kosav, or, you know, is it this component or that component? But once you know that, everything else is the same. They have the same view, same vision of what a shtar is. Then you're right. Why should I distinguish between them regarding the question of Muchach Mitocho? But if we say that the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir is a basic argument, what is it about a shtar which effectuates a kinyan? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that it's the fact that you are delivering a raya to the other person, that is the dabar kohen. And Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, the fact that you witnessed the kinyan, even if the document itself reflects nothing of the raya. So then, now we understand very well why there's this discrepancy. For Rabbi Eliezer, we don't really care about the raya. The ksav, the document, is just a mechanism. It's the parshanut of what's happening, and of course, more than parshanut, the nesira of this text is the davra kona, and the edim have to witness that, and they have to be able to fill in the blanks if there are issues that come up. But it's not a din of raya, particularly. Therefore, there's no din of mukha mitocho. If you have questions, we'll solve it by asking the people. But for Rabbi Meir, the Ikar Davra Kores is the Hatfas Asraya. The whole idea of Hatfas Asraya is the independence and self-contained, self-sustained definition of the Shtar. That's compromised when there's some sort of ambiguity. So if it's vague, Dartrei Yosef Ben Shimon, or the other Gemara, the Gemara in Ksuvas, it says, Shnei Shtaros HaYotzim B'Yomechad. You have two shtaros. The guy wants to sell his field or wants to give it away for matana, and he gives it to two different people on the same day. He doesn't write the time in the get or in the shtar. Right? He says Monday. Monday, January 5th? 4th? 6th? 5th. Whatever it is. He doesn't say 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, any coastman shows. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, you should say Yachloku. I gave it to one before the other. I mean, there are all sorts of different shitas. It's very, very complex Gemara, very, a lot of Rishonim, especially later on Pei Vav, but I'm going to speak about some of them. Let's say he gave it to one guy at 10 o'clock, and he gave it to the other guy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 at 10 in the morning. So the Gemara, the pashtus of the Gemara, there are different interpretations. The Gemara says, according to the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, Shnei Shtar Sayotzu Biyamechad, Yachloku, or Shuta Dedayim. What does that mean? Yachloku, split it in half. They have equal rights. Even though one got it earlier, perhaps, probably got it earlier than the other. Or do we say, shuta d'daini? We try to figure out, you know, who did the guy really intend to give it to? How you do that, that's a topic in its own right. What is shuta d'daini? Okay. So the Gemara says, you know what? This machlokas, yachloku, or shuta d'daini, is haba hatalia, it depends on the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. If you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, they name it Sira Karsi, Shuda the Daini. And if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then Ede Chasima Karsi, Yachloku. And then they all try to figure out why. I mean, either way, he gave it to one, was a possibility that he gave it to one earlier and the other later. What difference does it make how the shtar works as to when it works? So the Ri's answer to that question is based on this principle of muchach mitoka. He says like this. There's ambiguity here. Monday, January, whatever, but no time. So he may have given it at 10 o'clock to one and at 2 to the other. The Eid in the Sira may be able to testify to that. But if what's kores in the shtar, the Eid Hasima, and as far as the Eid Hasima are concerned, there's no evidence one way or another, they might know, but that's a coincidence. In terms of the signing of the shtar, which could have taken place before the transaction, in terms of looking at the shtar after the transaction, from a muchach mitoko point of view, in terms of the self-sufficiency of the shtar, there's no evidence whatsoever that one was given earlier than the other. So they both begin badai at the end of the last second of the day. The last second of the day is the first moment of each matana. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Eid Mesira Karsi, there's no din of muchach mitoko. Now the question is, likely he didn't give them exactly at the same time. He probably gave one before the other. Now let's try to figure out, however we do in Shuda Dedaini, whatever that process is, let's figure out who he gave it to first. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, Lu Yatsuyar that we knew or could find out, the first guy was Kona first. There's no problem. Muchach mitoko. Yeah. Sorry, I just
wondered whether one can make a gabo chetzer kind of difference here. That according to the Elazar, that you need Adim on the ksiba. I mean the shema on the ksiba.
Right.
So it's just that the chetzer has to be written the shema. It doesn't matter whether the bar writes it, whether the sofer writes it. As long as the get is written the shema, it's a valid get. But according to Rabbi Mayer, that can be Chasima, then it's the Aiden that has to be Chosein Vishma. And I can't substitute.
I mean, you're suggesting a third reason why there can't be Shlichos?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, in addition
or
to saying.
It fits into your first reason.
Right.
An expansion of your first
reason. Right. Could be. But that would apply to the Shema too, then, not just for the. Right. Yeah, we were trying to explain there.
Since
why there wouldn't be shlichos?
Right. So, no, there can't be shlichos. They can be shlichos on a chetzer, but they can't be shlichos on the davar.
Right. But again, it would probably be for a similar reason, because it's a highly personal act. Right. Yeah, could be. Anyway, so this is something to look out for in the debate between. So then, if you understand it that way, so then all these issues, lishma, mechubar, Mucho mitocho, shlichos, there are many more. The point is, if we're talking about two perspectives, how do shtars work in general? Right. So then, the question of, you know, mechubar, all these other things are just going to be looked at in a very different way. I'll give you another example. Ksav she yachol his diet. This is also an extension of mucho mitocho. But can you write on paper or surface, you know, which is capable of being, you know, forged or erased, altered.
Disappearing
ink might be a problem. Anyway, that's what might be ksiba, but right. There's a whole slew of other issues that the Gemara links up with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, where Rishonim say, well, what does that have to do with Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir? Does that define the word b'kasav? Because there is a group of Rishonim that see that basically they have the same vision of shtar, and they're simply arguing technically what does the word b'kasav and so on mean. And there's another group of Rishonim that see that this is all part of a pattern. There are just two totally different ideas of how to understand shtaros, the result of which is a whole series of nafkamin. Okay, that's one issue. Now let's move on to another issue. We'll get back to that. That's going to be a leitmotif, some of the things that we're going to be doing. But we'll get back to it. I'll just say one other thing before I left.
What you said to me about the celebration, the explanation to the place of Lazar.
About the...
How they look at it.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense in Romanist and in Kinyan.
Oh.
But when it comes to Kedusha and Yisurah and the Kitten sort of doesn't...
I'm glad you said that, because that's the last point I wanted to make just very quickly was, the Gemara says in the end of the Sugya that, we were looking for Abba Meir because Tam is Masisin Kavasei, and looking for Abba Lazar, the Kaim Lachsah Kavasei Begitin. So this idea that within the argument between Rav Lazar and Rav Meir that we are going to distinguish between Gittin and Shar Shtaros, right, needs to be understood. I mean, why? Why should we be Mechalik? But the question is, what does Gittin and Shar Shtaros mean, as I alluded to before? But the point is that if it's a question of how to interpret the word Bekasab, and whether or not technically the Krisas Hashtar is determined by the Chassima or the Mesira, it's really hard to understand that chiluk. But if we say that the argument between Rav Lazar and Rav Meir is a fundamental argument about how you understand Shtaros, and whether it's the Tzad Raya Shabo, or it's the Tzad Kinyan that is Koheya, so then you really understand very well, I think, the difference between the Tzkumim. But the question is where to draw the line. The best place to draw the line is the difference between Shtare Kinyan and Shtare Raya. Meaning, In Gittin, especially if Gittin means Gittin, Kiddushin, Shtar Shechareved, and Shtari Kinyan, even in Dini Bominus, like Shtari Mechar and Shtari Matana, so what we're saying is, when it comes to a Shtar which creates a Kinyan, it doesn't just attest to the act of a Kinyan, another act which is Kobayan a Kinyan, so then we're more comfortable with the position of Rabbi Eliezer, Eidi Mesira Karsi. Because that's what it is. It's witnessing the actual transaction. But when it comes to, let's say, something like a shtar milvah, is a little tricky, but let's say a shtar raya in Dinei Bominus, let's say you do the kinyan on the karka with the kesef, or with chazaka, right? But there's a shtar, which is the raya, which is the proof that it took place. So then, it's much more appealing to go the route of Rabbi Meir. Namely, you need Eide Chassima, you need a Raya, you need a good Raya. How do you explain the other way? Rav Meir says it's halacha even in Gittin, even in Shtari Kinyan. It's the Raya Shabo, which is Koveya the Kinyan. That's how we interpret it. But we can understand at least why you might say, you know what, I'll accept Rabbi Lazar for Shtari Kinyan, I'll accept Rabbi Meir for Shtari Raya. So that would be the point. Okay, now let's move on to another point, which is what the Gemara Mekomot's about. I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues that come up on the daf here. The first one of the Gimel Gittin Psulim, the Nisus Ablad Kasha, is Kasa Biksav Yado Ve'en Olaveidin. Right, a person writes out the document, and there's no signatures, but it's his own handwriting. So the Mishnah seems to say that Ksav Yado is a get d'oraisa. Just a Nidrabanan, you're not allowed to use it. But if you go ahead and use it, Havlad is kosher. Minatora, Kosa B'Ksav Yado is fine. So Tosas asks the question immediately. If you look at Tosas here, Kosa B'Ksav Yado Ve'en Olaveidin. Is that the right one? No, sorry. Shlosha Gittin Psulim. Sorry. Second Tosas on the page. So Tosas says, Ike Demuki B'Perek Basra. The Gemara later on in that Mishnah, Gimel Gittin Psulim, I'm on Gimel Medeis, the second Tosis. He can book the Perik Basra, Hachmas Nisan Krabi Meir, Afagav Yisrael Rabbeir, Kolom Mishan Mimapesh, Shetiva Chachamim, the Gittin of Lad Mamzer. So, personally, he just points out something very interesting. Normally, Rabbeir is very, very machmir about the strict protocols of a get, even Drabanan. He believes that they create a mamzer drabon. Kol hamishana mimadeya shetiva chachamim begitin is possible. He says, how can he be the man d'amar who says that the vlad is kosher? Okay, that's the first point. So Omer ben Tam, hachayin utam the vlad kosher dekachay amadeya shol yipsal avlad v'hanech shlosha. It's an interesting point, meaning the point of Rabbi Meir is that any shinui in madeya shetiva chachamim is automatically a vlad mamzer, or that these Shinuyim, to begin with, were given a certain chamor status, in which case there might have been one or two that weren't. So it's also saying the second idea here. The question is basically the assumption that any shinui, no matter what, results in vlad mamzer drabanan. And it's also saying, no. It just means that it's not per se, shinui b'mateh shetivu chachamim, it's that the particular shinuyim are all very chamurim. But this is one which Meirosh didn't have that step. Okay. Then we get to our point, which is Behafogab Rabbi Meir Savar the Kasa Haino Bechasam. Remember, if Rabbi Meir is the author of this Mishnah, and Rabbi Meir says Ede Chatsima Karsi, and why does it say Ede Chatsima Karsi? Because Bechasav means Bechasam. So what bothers Tosis? How can Kasa Bechasav Yado the Ein Olavedin be Kasher according to Rabbi Meir Minat Torah? Where's the Bechasav, which means Bechasav? We call Makom Kasher Havlad Bechasav Yado Ein Olavedin Tosis Chiddush the Kivin Shabal Atma Kasav. Strong statement. Right? This is the ultimate chasima. This is very similar. Rashi already tackled this problem on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We have it in our sheets. If you don't have it in the Gemara, we have it in the sheets. It's the second entry. But again, you have this Mishnah appears in Pei Vav Amud Aleph. But the second entry, for those of you who don't have it, and in the sheets, Rashi says on Shlosha Kitim Psulim Nisavad Kasher Kasa B'Tzaviyad Avein Olavedim. So Rashi says, Hai Tana Lav Rabbi Meir Svirale. So Rashi starts off by saying, this can't be Rabbi Meir. To Amar Ede Chasima Karsi. To Rabbi Meir, Vlad Mamzer. Right? If there's no Ede Chasima, the Vlad has to be a Mamzer. So it's got to be a different Tana of this Mishnah. But there is a mandamar that says in the Gemara that it is Rabbi Meir, like Tosa said. Very similar to Tosas. By Ein Lecha Chasima, different emphasis maybe, but same to Ein Lecha Chasima Gedol Mizu, or Hodah Spaldin, Ksav Yado rather. Excuse me. Kimea Eidim Dami. Fine. The lav kirab Eliezer sirele the amid in the sirakarsi a polygrab Eliezer the seipa al kivnik sav yodahu the kasa the nasan karinam ve. So Rashi starts off by saying that kasa b'ksav yado is kineya edim dami based on again hodas baldin kineya edim dami, and then somehow in the continuation he says it's can't be Rav Eliezer etc. So what does Rashi mean by that? It's based on didn't Rashi just say dummy? Very unclear. So some of the Rishonim and almost all the Acharonim understood that Rashi here was suggesting two different deos. Rashi was suggesting two different possibilities. How does Rabbi Meir live, right, with Kasa B'Ksav Yado, the Enel of Eden? After all, he believes Ede Chasim Akarsi. A, Kasa B'Ksav Yado is Kamei Edim Dami, that is Edim. Inami, second answer, it's a special Xeris Akasa B'Kasa B'Nasa. Which means that there are two ways to accomplish Gittin. One is through Shtaros, and the rule of Shtaros is Ede Chasima Karsi. Ksav Yado would not qualify as a Shtar because there's no Ede Chasima. But it works for Gittin for another reason. The Kasav and Nasav. A special Zeres HaKasav. That's how many Achronim understand Rashi. Some of the Rishonim clearly understood it this way as well.
So that would be just a deal that is just
special didn't give.
Not an IOU or anything else.
Presumably that should, unless there's some other basis. Oh, right. So you raised a very good question. So this brings us to the following question.
So the
what really is the status?
Kamei Eden doesn't really work in Yishuv. Hodos Baldin at the moment of time.
That's a good question. That's a question on the first point of Rashi. Meaning, Simcha's asking, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Sabachem and Beis, which we also have printed here, on page 2, the Gemara says, and we'll discuss it more fully, that in Kiddushin, Hodas Valdin, Kemedim Dami doesn't work. Chav Lachrini, that's, if you look here just very quickly, in the second page, the Gemara says about, the Gemara talking about the famous Safek in the Gemara, whether you, Mekadesh Bifnei Echad, close to the Kiddushin, if a person does Kiddushin in presence of one, rather than two witnesses, does anything happen or not? Are we concerned that that's a legal kiddushin or not? So the Gemara says, "My abala." Gemara says, "What's the upshot? What's the conclusion?" So the Gemara says, "Rav Tana Amar in Koshin the Kiddusha, Rav Papa Amar Koshin the Kiddusha, the Machlokas." Then the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravashi, Rav Tana, my dietek. What do you think? The Yalpa is Dover Dover Mi Mamon, because we learn Kiddushin from Dine Mamonis. Imal Alano Dos Baldin Kemedim Dami, Rav Tana Dos Baldin Kemedim Dami. Right? Why not say just like there, Hodos Baldin? If the guy admits that the event took place, we believe him. Here too. So the Gemara says, Amalei Hossam Lo Kachayev Lachrini." So it sounds like the Gemara says Hodos Balin Kenedim Dami does not work in Kiddushin. So Simcha is asking a very good question. And what happened to that rule? All of a sudden we're saying here that Ksav Yado is Kenedim, or like Tosas Ein Lecha Chasima Gedola Mizu. So we'll get to it later on. What is it? Why not? Ah, that's a good question. So that's about Machlokas HaRishonim. What? Yeah, I see. It's a family discussion there. So that's about Machlokas HaRishonim. So if you look at Tosafot Daled Amud Aleph, let me put it this way.
What I said before, that
you're
limited to the
Yeah, we'll discuss that. Oh, so these are both connected. So if you look at Tosafot Daled Amud Aleph, Tosafot Daled Amud Aleph says what Simcha says, which is that Gittin too should be Chav Lacharini. I'm just going to show you. We'll read this Tosafos more fully later on. But the on the bottom of the Kaimelon Halacha Kravalozu Begitin. Look at the last two lines of that Tosafos, which is three lines from the bottom of the page, at the Rabbi Kveger sign. Umiu Yesh Lachalek, Dilinyan Mamon, Demahani Odos Baldin Kameidim Dami, Sogi Beede Chasima. The Makom Hodas Baldin. I'll explain this when we get to it more fully, but he's talking about whether Edi Chasima worked for Rabbi Eliezer. Aval Bekidushin VeGerushin Lo Mahani Hodas Baldin. In Gerushin and Kedushin Hodas Baldin does not work. Mishum Demechayev Lacherim, because other people are affected, and therefore there's no Hodas Baldin. The Bekidushin Asa LaKrovin. What's the who's affected in Kedushin? The relatives, they cannot, you know, have a kedushin relationship with him. Will be gerushin aser la kohen. However, the 1 second.
She's also to the kohen. Even if she's married, she's still also to the kohen. Nothing changes the status.
Between right, but it's a different issue. It's a different status.
That is, it's still an issue. You're not changing the kohen. The kohen's also to her no matter what.
So maybe. So the Rajba happens to say what you say, which is that chav lacharini doesn't apply to gerushin. That's the Rajba. Here, just 1 second. Rajba in two places. One is the Rajba. Look at the bottom of page 1. 1 second. Okay, we'll pursue this more fully next time, but it's just to get it down. Hamakadish Beidach on the bottom piece of page 1. Hamakadish Beidach on Afil Shnei Modim in Kosher the Kiddushin. That Gemara in Kiddushin, right? That Eidachad, a single A doesn't accomplish anything in condition. Dilo main condition bapal shnayim, kidi alfino dover dover mimamun, but filo kasa biksavyado nami. We'll discuss this. Even if you wrote it biksavyado, kinemasha bikidushin perka omer mishum de kumachai vlachrini. U begitin de mahani ksavyado, havatama o mishum de lo machai vlachrini, o mishum de ksivahen the kasavla, both suggestions that you made. Either gitin works because of exeris a kasu the kasavla, or because in Gittin you could say Hodos Baldin because it isn't in fact Chav Lachrini. So what happened to Grusha Lekohen, right, which is Tosus's explanation why there is Chav Lachrini? So it could be there could be various explanations, but it could be that the argument revolves around how you understand the din of Grusha Lekohen. In other words, and that on two levels. Number one, Lemaisa, once a person's once is a marriage, this woman, right, cannot be muteres lekohen unless she's going to be an alman. Right. But what's that? Yeah. So unless she's going to be an alman, so you might say that it's not the gerushin which makes, is what you were saying before, which makes her a sura lekohen. She's a sura lekohen previously, just that the gerushin is not matir her lekohen. what's Tosafos' response to that? No. There was no Isser Grusha LeKohen while she was married. That's called Isser Eishes Ish. It's not that Isser, you know, Grusha LeKohen or Isser LeKohen is Beklal Eishes Ish. That's Eishes Ish. There's no more or less Eishes Ish, you know, for a Kohen than there is for anybody else. Right? If it is for Bas Kohen, it's a different story. But the point is, it's a coincidence. Previously, there was an Isser to this Kohen because she was an Eishes Ish. And now, even though she's a Mataris, there's a new Chalos called Grusha LeKohen, and she's Asura. And the fact is that this status of Grusha LeKohen is created, is generated by the act of Gerushin. So the fact that Lemaisa, so what did the Rajba say? One of two things. Either, it doesn't matter. Lemaisa, the Gerushin doesn't make a difference, doesn't make things worse. It just means, Inan Davrazet doesn't make things better. We care Lemaisa whether there was a change. We don't care about the source of the Issa. Or, the Rajba might say, the reason that Grusha is Asura, LeKohen, maybe is that Le'inyan Kohen, there's an aspect of the get that is incomplete. I'm not suggesting that it's an Isser Eishes Ish, but maybe that's the point. There is, had there not been an Isser Eishes Ish before the Gerushin, maybe, I'm speculating, there wouldn't have been a Shem Grusha either. The Grusha is a function of, right, a remnant of the Eishes Ish Le'inyan Kohen. In which case, in a certain sense, it's not Kovlachrini at all. It's just not Matir, but it's not really Oser. Okay. There might be other explanations as well. But there is this major debate. So the Rashi basically says two things. Number one, Kovlachrini doesn't apply to Gerushin, it does apply to Kiddushin. Number two, Savyado might be a special Xeris HaKasuv, Dafka, for Gittin and not for Kiddushin. We'll see. Other Rishonim disagree.
Because of Shitovim Shabbi.
Say that again?
She can go with silver from the...
Ah.
She bought it. Why
is that Kavlach Rini? Well, but that's... Why is that... I mean, that's true in any Hodah Spaldin
Kameh.
That would be true. There would never be Hodah Spaldin in any case where there were Nechassim and Shabbatim, right?
So...
But the point is that initially, since it's similar to the question of, you know, Einish Boimab Tfira, she would, you know, Karkos. Since that may be true if she doesn't have Nechassim B'nei Chori, we generally define Chavlach Rini or Dos Baldin, those kind of things, in terms of the first line of impact, not the down the road, you know, protection. No, the insurance company. Oh, the insurance company might lose. Before we get to the insurance company, we first have to determine, you know, whether I have real assets or not. So I think it's a good question, but I think that would be true across the board in any Hodas Valdin, Kinedim Dami, where there were Nechassim and Shubabim. Okay.
It could be a question of what Hodas Valdin really is, it's not money.
Yeah, could be. Absolutely. We'll get back to that. Yeah, that's a big issue in the Rishonim and things. So we'll get back to that. Okay. My point is as follows. Getting back to the... You have Kosev Xaviyot of Enel Evedim. So what we have so far. The Rishonim asking the question, how does this fit in with Rabbi Meir? Right? So Rashi says, Xaviyot of Kameidim Dami, and the Kosev Enosan. As I mentioned, some Rishonim and some Achronim understand Rashi's giving two suggestions. A... Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami. That is not so simple because, as we pointed out, it's Chavlach Rini. This Machlokas Shoshonim, whether Gittin is Chavlach Rini like Kedushin or not. That's point number one. Number two, the second point was the Kasav and Asan, the Xeris HaKasav. That too is something that the Rajba zeroes in on. By the way, the Rajba says Nivamos. That's what I read. The piece after Kedushin on the next page, you see the Rajba and Kedushin Samachem Beis also says something very similar. Just look at that very quickly. Mistabrali, the third to the last entry, or I should just say the third entry. Mistabrali, the Hadzitan Gimel Gittim Psulim Vimnisa Vlad Kasha V'chav Minayu Kasa V'chav Yado Eidol Abedim Hasim Haidatama Derachmana Rabia Begittin Kimamo Midasim V'kasav. Again, he's emphasized. It's a Gerasa Kasuv that Gittin works like Mamo. The mashma culture kosovlo who biksav yado migureshes so shtar gomoru kishtar shabimamo udikivase rabbi rachmana idachot betuma shalach kinu stira may the aid ainba alamai de rabbi below gamina minayu Dimkein Zeres Shama Lavayasa. Ein Chabayin Ela Mekalman. Vino B'Kiddushim Kasa B'Ksav Yado V'Enim Eidu Mekuda. It's a big Chiddush of the Rajba that he thinks Ksav Yado doesn't work in Kiddushim. But here he says it a little bit differently. Here he says that maybe combines the 2 points in Rashi. The Xeris Akasava, the Kasav Nasan, is what teaches us that Hodas Baldin, which works in Dinim Aminis, will also work in Gittin. Because I might have thought it should work in Gittin because Gittin is Chavlach Rini. The Kasav, the Xeris Akasav, is teaching me that even though it's Chavlach Rini, nonetheless, here, Hodas Baldin, in Yan Ksav Yado, Hodas Baldin works.
Yeah. Another question. Why isn't it Chavlachrini? Because Madarish's wife and Tavalesa Tavim and Lezabamalo. Why isn't it a Chavlachrini? Every Gerishin should be a Chavlachrini.
Well, no, I mean, that's. I mean, that's to her. Akrini means people outside of the.
No, but to her, it's also Chavlachrini to her.
Right, but she's, but her Gerishin's Balkarcha, so it doesn't make a difference. So, and she admits of it anyway.
That's her opinion.
Okay, getting back to the main point. I have to stop in a minute. We'll discuss this more fully next time, but we have this very interesting, what we've seen just a little bit already of, is Rishonim are struggling to try to figure out, basically, I mean, what's the bigger picture? They're trying to figure out, where does Ksav Yado fit in Shtaros? It's not a classic Shtar. Classic Shtar is a Shtar Be'ed. They could be Eidi Nesira, they could be Eidi Chasima, especially if it's Eidi Chasima. So you have this text, I hereby, and he signs his name. Or he didn't sign it, it's his handwriting. What is that? That's a shtar? Is that something? Is that based on Teres Akasuv? Is it based on Hodas Baldin? What exactly is it? That's what these Rishonim are struggling to figure out. Teres Akasuv, this, that, and it reflects itself in three big issues. Number one, because we really find the discussion of Ksav Yad in two places, at least. One is here in the Mishnah, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, it's repeated here in Gimel the base. Gimel Gittin Psulim. We know that Minat Torah, Kasav Ksav Yado is a proper get. There's no question about that. The only question is to figure out why and how. But there's another Mishnah as well. That's the Mishnah, if you look here very quickly, on page 2, in Bava Basra, Kufayin Hei, Amud Beis. We're just going to read the Mishnah, it's one line. Hotzi Aleph Ksav Yado Shu Chayev Lo. This is a Mishnah on the very end of Bava Basra, the last half of Bava Basra. A guy produces a, you know, handwritten document, you know, in which it's spelled out that he owes, the other guy owes him money. Golben minachasim b'nei chorin. You can use that to collect, but only nachasim b'nei chorin. Only liquid assets. Right? Unencumbered assets. Not b'nei chorin, in other words. Not mishubadim. Not leaned or mortgaged property. A regular shtar, a regular contract, you can be Golden Menachasim Mishubadim. What is the relationship between the status of two Mishnayos? There's a third Mishnah, the Mishnah in Yevamos, but the Mishnah in Yevamos basically repeats the Mishnah in Gittin. If you look at, very quickly, page 1, Talmud Bavli Yevamos, Lamed Amud Beis, that's the Mishnah. The Kulan Shahayu B'Kiddushin HaBegerushin B'Safek, Hare Elu Hatzaros Choltos Olam Yavmos. Ketzad? Ketzat Safek Kiddushin, Zara Kiddushin, Safek Karavlo, Safek Karama, Zeh Safek Kiddushin, Safek Gerushin, Kosav Ksav Yad Aveda Levedim, Yesh Levedim Be'im Ozman, Yesh Bozman Be'im Bolein Echad, Zeh Safek Gerushin. That's a quote of our Mishnah, but it's in this context. I just want to read the first Rashi on it though. So Rashi on that Mishnah says, Kosav Ksav Yadu, Dekaimelon, Hotzial Ksav Yadu Shuchayet Govim Nechasim Nechorin, Alma Ksav Yadu Bolo Edim, Mil Sahi. It's a very fascinating Rashi, and a controversial one. Rashi says, now Rashi is really talking about the effectiveness of Ksav Yado and Gerushin. He says, what's it based on? The fact that it works in Dinei Mamonos proves that it's real, it's Milsi, it's a Shtar. Now you have to explain it that way. So the other is shown him, the Ritva, which I'm not going to read now because it's already too late, we have to adjourn. The Ritva says, what's he talking about? It works in Dinei Mamonos without Shibudim, maybe because it's really like Mil Valpeh. Mm-hmm. How does that prove that when you need a Chetzishol Shtar, like in Gerushin, that it works? So this is the question. What is the relationship between the Mishnah Bava Basra that says it works, but there are no Shibudim? The Mishnah in Gittin, which says it works for Gittin, but how does that fit with Rabbi Meir? That's the second context. And the issue that they fight about, which is Kiddushin. There's no evidence at all in Kiddushin. that Ksav Yada works. But if it works in Gittin and it works in Dinim Aminis, does it work in Kiddushin? That's the Machlokas. So it's fair to figure out next week what exactly is the status of Ksav Yada and whether or not it sheds light in general, since it's a kind of an anomalous shtar, does it shed light on shtars? We'll finish with this next week.
You may capture the star, but you need it.
The star, yeah, but not necessarily the star.